sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting sexier and happier, and it's a lot due to this show. On this show, I learn so much from my guests, and I have occasion to contemplate things outside of my comfort zone, things that are just different from my realm of knowledge. And so I'm getting sexier and happier all the time as a result, and I hope you are too. Today we have a wonderful show lined up. I think it'll challenge you, and I think it'll encourage you, and I think as a result you'll probably get happier. Before I tell you all about it, I want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Zestra, which is a female enhancement product, especially for women who are going through menopause or postmenopause, and I'm hoping that you'll try it. It will definitely increase your sensation and maybe your sex and happiness. So you'll hear a little bit more about that later in the show. Well, today we're going to look at the topic, self-acceptance as a path to awakening your happiness. So my guest today is an expert on this, on self-acceptance, and he's prepared to tell us a lot about it. His name is Ron Baron, and he's a tantric daka, a spiritual seeker and public speaker in the fields of theology, Eastern philosophy, and mysticism. He's instructed numerous meditation workshops and yoga retreats and has given hundreds of talks and lectures about the nature of spirituality and self-inquiry. So, Ron, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so glad that we get to do this call together today.
Yeah, you and I have been in the same circles, but we haven't met, and I like to look at it as we've been circling around our wagons for a long time, and finally, here we are together on the show.
Yes, and I constantly hear about you, and I've been listening to your show for a long time. You had a show with Sean Roop, who's one of my favorite teachers that I listen to, and I love your show. I love what you're doing.
Yeah, I had a show with Sean. I pretty much had a show with everyone there is that I know in the sex and sensuality world. There's only a couple of people who have escaped me, and I'm still trying to get them. You know, Daniel Odier is one of them, and David Data is another. So if you have any inroads to them, let me know, because I really like to interview those guys.
We'll capture them.
I'd love that. So today, I want to first start with, in my introduction, I said that you are a tantric daka, and I don't want that to just go by the wayside. Some people listening may not know what that is. So could you give us a little explanation of that?
Sure, I would love to. In Tantra, which is one of the oldest traditions in the world, it predates yoga by 2,000 years. Most people don't know that. The term daka or dakini, which is the female version of daka, daka is the male version of dakini, the term does not represent a priest, because Tantra does not believe in having a middleman between you and God. There is no one that can see more, better, different, have higher quality of relationship to the divine than you. So there's no clergy. So the concept of dakini is someone who in their life, in their process, is helping you focus and see your own self and accept what's already there more than you can without their help. And I would add to that that the term dakini means sky dancer, where in Tantra, sky dancer means a person or someone who's connecting between the heaven and the earth. It's important for me to add that the place of dakinis in ancient Tantra was extremely scholarly and extremely learned people who used their knowledge as a part of responsibility towards society to get people more in love, more connected, and more alive in their lives.
Well, that's a tall order then that you're filling.
Hoping to, yeah.
That's great. I love that. I love what you're saying about it. And, you know, a lot of people feel that Tantra is so mystified. They either think one or the other. They think it's esoteric mysticism that they don't quite understand, or they think it's sheerly about sex. And this has been a very disparate view of Tantra. I think it's coming more into the mainstream now, and people like yourself are helping to let people know what this is and demystify it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a struggle to get people either to distinguish it from pornography or from some kind of just another sex gig from something that's so esoteric that they can't understand it. Why would we bother?
Right. Well, the truth is that is actually one of my goals in teaching, and one of the things that I'm really trying to work on in my classes and events. Most teachers in the Western world teach out of or expressing techniques coming from a book called the Vigyan Bhair of Tantra, or the Osho called it the Book of Secrets. The Vigyan Bhair of Tantra has 108 techniques, and these are techniques that were given towards enlightenment. And of those 108 techniques, there are 4 techniques that are around sexuality. 104 have nothing to do with sexuality at all. And I feel that in the West, most teachers that I came across usually focus on those 4 techniques. And I feel, wow, that's such a disservice to Tantra, because there's so much more, there's so much knowledge. I just remembered this, the very first technique on the Vigyan Bhair of Tantra was taken on, was practiced by one person who got enlightened. And we all know him. This is Gautama Buddha. The Buddha read the Vigyan Bhair of Tantra and practiced the first technique, which is now what we practice as Vipassana, breathing in and breathing out. And that's all it took. Like he read one line, that's it. So Tantra has so much more to it in terms of practice, in terms of understanding of the human psyche, of the way we connect. There's a lot of talk about taking life for granted or living life from gratitude. And I think it's very relating to your topic, sex and happiness, because sexuality, actually, that's an interesting point to mention, that both in Taoism and Tantra, the word sex, as we use it in English, if I say I would love to have sex with you, it means only one thing, right? It means intercourse or a connection, a sexual connection, where...
Yeah, somebody's touching somebody's private part.
Exactly. That's no one will think otherwise, right?
Right.
Where in the East, when we use the word chi or shakti to represent sexuality, we mean connection, communication, expression, spontaneity, art. It's so much more than just that. So working on someone's shakti or increasing someone's capacity for chi meant in those days an increased capacity to love, to connect, to see life. We went so far from that, and I feel that in a way we're so starved around our sexuality that sex needs to have its own almost like magical place, where both for Tantra and Taoism, sex is not that important.
I love what you're saying. I mean, I always tell my students, interestingly enough, when they come to my beginner's class, that I don't care if they never have sex. And they look at me like, well, wait a minute, isn't this a class in Tantra? What do you mean if you don't care if we never have sex? And I say, I don't care if you never have sex. I only care that you learn how to use your sexual energy to fuel the whole rest of your life, to fuel your intentions on what you want and how much pleasure you can allow into your life in every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Sex being only one part, and if you don't have a partner, who cares? And if you have a partner, who cares? And it doesn't matter. It only matters that you learn to use the energy and move the energy and be able to shift and change and shift and change and deal with all the unknown rather than strictly dealing with, okay, I went to this Tantra class and I learned to have better sex. Like, the connection is to everything.
Actually, that's another part where I feel a lot of people who come to me for either sessions or events, they have this idea that if they will have another technique or, you know, have sex in a little different posture, suddenly their sex life will be amazing and everything will be great. And I usually say, listen, you want to have amazing sex, you need to learn how to listen and communicate. And it has nothing to do with the bedroom.
Well, you know what? This is great because what you just said about learning to listen and communicate to have great sex is also necessary to have great happiness.
Of course.
Yeah, it's so simple. And you're making it simple. You know, the way you're expressing about it, you're making it so simple. Anybody can do it. And I think sometimes people feel, just apropos of that, that if it's not complicated, some technique where they have to make their body into a pretzel,
mm-hmm.
or where they have to be holding their breath for 10 minutes, I think they think that this can't be it. The mind is such a monkey. It wants us to feel like everything has to be rocket science, and this isn't rocket science. This is really what you said. It's breathing, and it's listening, and it's communicating.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always tell to couples that come to me is that maybe one of the most powerful tools that I can give them is learning how to have difficult conversations.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Learn how to express your needs, which can be nothing about sexuality.
Right. They could be about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, Ron.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. Well, we're going to take a little break now. And when we come back, I want to address some difficult topics, like what you just said, learning how to express some difficult things in conversations. I want to talk about how people get free of their shame and their guilt, because that's often something they can't really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back from the break, let's start there and see where that takes us.
Definitely.
Okay?
Wonderful.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And today my guest is Ron Barron, and he really is an expert in the field of communication, intimacy, spirituality, and self-inquiry. And he's sharing some of his secrets with us, and in case you haven't recognized it as yet, he's actually teaching you something. He's already been doing that in this first segment. So when we come back, we're going to talk about shame and guilt, and I really love you all to listen up. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness show. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today I'm talking to Ron Barron. And Ron is a tantric dhaka, a spiritual seeker, and a public speaker in the fields of theology, Eastern philosophy, and mysticism. And it's clear from what he's talked to us about earlier in the show that he does lecture on these things, and he knows how to put it into practical terms. So we're going to find out some more practicality from him right now. I mentioned in the last segment that I wanted to talk a little bit about shame and guilt, because I think that people have a really difficult time, one, knowing where it is or knowing that that's the thing that's running them, and two, then being able to talk about it or release it or what have you. So what's your take on that?
I'll definitely say that before even going into that is that I feel that that's one of the places where holding on to your shame and guilt is such a debilitating part of your life. I constantly see how much energy we spend and how much energy we hold when we have all these secrets and all these things that we're afraid of. It takes so much. It just takes so much. We really live our lives almost, 30% just because we need to keep all of those skeletons there in the closet. And it makes us stop ourselves from reaching out, from connecting, from communicating. It's really a big deal, and something that when talking about happiness, enlightenment, communication, relationships, sexuality, without handling that piece, you're always going to be almost like driving a car that doesn't have fuel,
Yeah, that's well said, really well said. It's so important for people to actually release that stuff. So first of all, how do they know that they have it? How do they know it's running them?
So I would definitely say if you're alive, if you're still alive and walking, you probably have some shame and guilt that you have to release. We all have that as a part of our mechanism, and that's actually something to remember, that there will never be a moment in your life that you'll have no shame, no guilt, nothing that you're feeling inside of you. It has a place. It's a mechanism that the ego, that our system has. It's okay to have it. We're not striving to. Are you hearing this here? Yeah. We're not striving to cut those feelings outside of us or not have ever feel any shame or any guilt. First of all, just recognizing that it's there and allow it to have its place. Second of all is to realize that the reason that we have shame and guilt, or the function of shame and guilt, dissipates if we notice that both shame and guilt relate to an imaginary image that we have of ourselves.
Mm.
So let's say I have shame around, something very usual that a lot of people have, around masturbating or playing with ourselves because our parents or society told us that that's wrong or we should not do that. Now, being able to express in public or to say, hey, I masturbate, I'm sure no one is going to look at you and like, oh my God, really? That's so odd, or you're so unique in that practice. But with it, there is something in us that we can feel like this kind of, it's very subtle energy that we feel, oh, this is not something that we should be expressing. Or we can have something a little more difficult. We, let's say, did something behind our friend's back, or we feel guilty about, or so many different things that we feel, this, I did something wrong according to what I think should be my ideal self. And the fear that we have is really around expressing, I'm this kind of person A, and I acted or behaved in a behavior that really fits person type B.
Mm.
The problem is not so much what we did, but the image that we're trying to make ourselves look like. When we have this event, Monique Darling and I, we teach this event together, the photo that we took for the event, it's like this really angry Catholic nun. Because we all have this Catholic nun somewhere at the back of our minds telling us you should not be like that, and you should be a saint, or you should be nice, or you should be whatever. Anthony Robbins says that if you have too many shoulds, you end up shooting all over yourself. And that's really the truth. The problem dealing with shame and guilt is dealing with a falsified image. If you would say, okay, I'll give you another real example that I see in a lot of my clients. For a lot of women that they feel that they want to open to their sexuality, but they have this idea that they can only do that with a monogamous partner, just one person that they're in a full relationship with. And many times, I'm saying, listen, but you're not there yet. You haven't found that person, and you're allowed to express your sexuality in your body and feel what's happening inside of you. But they have this strong image of what they're supposed to look like or what type of woman they should be. And they have, there's so much societal expectation of what women should behave like or be like, or, and that image is really what's stopping you. It's not the action. It's not what you did or didn't do. It's the image that you're holding on to with yourself. And the more you're able to really take the time, sometimes maybe journal, sometimes maybe talk to a friend, but have the capacity to express to yourself, this is just an image. This is just an idea in my mind. Just the recognition of it, immediately it will start to dissipate.
Wonderful. That's really wonderful advice, and they're good examples that you used. I was thinking when you were speaking that a lot of this imagery really is related to the notion or concept of sin,
mm-hmm.
and that somehow we're not God, so we're the sinners, and then there's this perfect being out there somewhere that's perfect and doesn't sin. And I mean, to me, I would just ask people to eradicate the whole notion of sin. I don't believe that any of us are sinners, and I also don't believe there's any perfect being. I think we're all works in progress, and I think that people are just so hard on themselves. So I love what you said, and I love the idea of being able to just see that, you know, whoever it is you're speaking about is not the image. They're actually a real person, and they're okay. Whatever they did, they're okay. It's all right to be human. It's all right to act on your own behalf.
Definitely. And you know, very interesting, I'm Israeli, if you didn't notice that in my...
I kind of picked up on that since I just came back from Israel, uh-huh. and you sound like everybody I was just talking to.
So in the Hebrew language, the word we use for sin is chet. And chet means to miss. It has nothing to do with going to hell, has nothing to do with being, on fire for eternity. It means you missed. You tried to reach a certain direction, and you missed. So let me ask you, if you're driving a highway and you missed your exit, what do?
You turn around.
You turn around.
You reset your course.
Research your course, or you come out the following exit and retract a little bit. But you're not like, oh my God, that's it. My life is over. I missed the exit. That's it. It's done. Right? You adjust.
Right.
All you do is adjust. And that's what the concept of sin really is. Hey, you've been trying to reach north. You missed a little bit. Readjust. That's it. And if we start living our lives in that, with that perspective, that really nothing can go that wrong, that it's not fixable, changeable, relatable. Can you even imagine what an impact that can be on someone's life, just making that small distinction?
It's really life-changing and life-altering what you're discussing, and anybody can do it. The beauty of what you're talking about is that anybody can do it. Anybody can reset their course. Anybody can reset their image,
mm-hmm.
or take away the image and just live.
You know, most of my clients that I'm working with that battle with either being bipolar or having depression, usually that's what I see, that they feel this is solid. Like, I cannot change my life. What's happening to me is predetermined, or that's my reality. And one of the things that Tantra really tries to bring to the table is, hey, you're alive, it's all open. Everything is possible for you. You can rewrite your story in a million ways. It might be challenging. It might be very difficult, but it's not over. If you're still breathing, it's not over.
Yeah, it's great. Really great. I'm inspired. I'm inspired by what you're saying. And, you know, I know it in my own self to be true. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's great. And this, you know, the thing about shame and guilt, I don't feel like they're real feelings. So I just need to say that to you. To me, the real things that are feelings are sensations, like hot, cold, mm-hmm. tingling, contracted, expanded, like feelings of in the physical nature, and then on top of those are emotions like anger, which have to do with fight or flight,
mm-hmm.
and then there's joy, sadness, but guilt and shame. I don't think that any being comes into this onto this planet, including anything in the animal kingdom, with guilt and shame. I think those are cultured, societal kinds of learnings and conditionings. Now, because they've been going on for so long, they're passed in the DNA from mother to child through the umbilical cord and through whatever the cultural group is or the the lineage. But I don't. To me, they're phony feelings, and they don't add to anything. All they're there for is to manage people and get people controlled to do what the overall culture or the overall society wants people to do. So I think they're phony. And and I think that it's a worthwhile cause to actually eradicate them from the body.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And I see it more as false evidence. It has, because, you know, people do feel them. It is a feeling or an emotion that comes up that sometimes can be really, really debilitating. Like someone said, I feel so guilty that I can't really act, or I can't open up to people, or I can't connect. So, you know, someone listening to you can say, oh my God, but for me, it's such a valid feeling. It is valid, but it's not supportive of your happiness or growth.
Exactly. And it supports nothing.
And to mature and to grow in terms of spiritual growth is to be able to see, okay, I've been carrying this friend for quite a while, and it's time for us to part ways.
Exactly. It's great. I love how you put that. Well, it's time for us to take another break here, so we're going to do that, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your current huge project called Goddess Puja. Yeah, that's really exciting to me. But there was so much more I wanted to hear from you before we got to that.
So
if you just tuned in, once again, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm talking to Ron Baron, who is quite an expert in the area of the way human beings are and how human beings can transform their lives. I look to say that people transform through pleasure, and obviously he's got some ways to let you know how to transform through pleasure. So please stay tuned. When we come back, he's going to talk about current projects, which are very exciting. Maybe you'll even find out how you could participate. So we'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com. for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual. very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and this is Laurie Handlers, and I'm thrilled today to be with Ron Baron. He's somebody who I've known about for a really long time and been following. I follow him on Facebook and through various tantric circles, and I've known about him and who he is for 3 or 4 years, maybe more. But today is our first real come together, and I couldn't be happier than to find a kindred spirit. So far, so great. Let's talk about your current project and how you thought of it, how you conceived of the notion of what it entails and what happens to people. So it's called a goddess puja, mm-hmm. which I know what that is. My guests, I don't know if they know what it is or not. So give us a quick definition of goddess puja, if you would.
Sure. So actually, I wanted to say that I lived most of my life here in the States in New York, and I recently moved to San Diego. And in the West Coast, they use the word puja to describe almost every tantric activity. So you have feeding puja, and you have painting puja, and yoga puja, and so many different things. But if you go to India and you say the word puja, it has only one meaning that you can ask a billion people, and they will all give you the exact same response, that it's a very specific-looking ceremony, and it involves offering of different elements, where the important ones are incense, water, and fire. Could be other things, but these are the main three elements. Goddess puja or Shiva puja, these are two ceremonies that come from tantric background, and they look exactly, if you would go into a Hindu temple right now and look at the way that they offer puja or ceremony to their deities, their different gods, it looks exactly the same, just that instead of a statue, you have a living person sitting in front of you. So
you would offer incense, fire, and all those things to the person in front of you?
Uh-huh. What's happening in a goddess puja, and let me take you back a couple thousand years in history, tantric villages in India, they would meet actually twice a week, once for a goddess puja and once for a Shiva puja for men. So one time it will be all women in the village honoring and respecting the men, and one day all men in the village respecting and honoring the women. Now the puja itself has about The traditional has 64 elements. The one that I'm offering has 16. Mostly it's between 12 to 24 different elements. So I'll give you more elements as an example. We offer chocolate. We offer roses. We offer rose petals. We offer a peacock feather. We offer different things. What else is there? Water.
How about wine?
No wine. And there's
there's
a reason for that, even though wine is accepted and celebrated in Tantra and Tao. But so what happens is this. Basically, you had the entire village line up, all women sitting down with a beautiful plate of different elements. And it's a lot of different brass and gold and different types of food on this plate. And you had all of the men of the village standing up, lining up in front of these women. And every round, they would shift one position to the left to honor a different goddess, a different woman in front of them. So just imagine the impacts. If you once a week had a ceremony that involved every male entity in your life, and that could be your FedEx guy, the grocery store, people in the post office, every male entity in your life once a week would come, and for a brief moment, it's about 2 minutes each, maybe 3 minutes, will offer you a gift, an honoring, seeing you in your beautiful form of a goddess. The next time that you'll go to meet your FedEx person, after he just offered you the night before rose petals to your feet, it's a very different kind of interaction.
Yes.
It's a very different type of relation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It transforms it into something totally different.
Yeah, and the same thing, after a few more days, all women, all men are sitting down, and women will line up and will offer almost the exact same offering back to the men with a few variations. But what the idea behind it is that you're sitting in front of a person and you're offering two things. One is seeing them in their pure divine self, right? When we namaste to one another, we say, I see the divine in you. So here is a full offering of that. And the second thing, and something that I feel, and this is why I'm really doing this in such a scale, I feel that most women in our culture really need to feel unconditional receiving. This is something so needed and so... I can't even start expressing how much women in our society feel that their receiving is very conditional. And this is a very unconditional ceremony. And I always emphasize that it's okay if someone finds someone they want to interact with and exchange numbers. But I really try, at least in the ceremony itself, and there are many ways to do that, to not make it personal. To make it
great.
To make it so the men really see and honor the goddess inside of you. And you in turn see that the person in front of you is not someone that you want to, you know, hook up with or connect with. It's just a representation of male energy offering love and affection to you. It is so beautiful and it's so profound. I always, every single puja I've done in the last few years, I've done around 150, I think, goddess pujas like this. Mm-hmm. Almost every single time, most of the people that come in cry and are in amazement of how much emotion this brings up. And I have to say, as the facilitator, I'm standing there on the side and I see all 20, 40, 50 people who are going through the process. And it's just amazing to see what comes up and to see so many people open up and cry and have those deep emotions. And sometimes, you know, and actually one of the things that women find out, it's not so easy to receive.
Right.
Most of my goddess pujas, women come out and they say, wow, I was sure that I'm so ready and open. And the truth is that suddenly when someone really gives me unconditionally for, it's almost 2 hours, sitting and just receiving for so many men for 2 hours without any expectations, without anything in return, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
But very healing. And it creates an open heart that sometimes these women for years haven't really remembered that they can reach.
Wow, it's a big project. I guess somebody's got to do it. And it's wonderful that you're doing it. It really is wonderful that you're doing it. Just amazing. Let's see if we can get even... I mean, I because I've been in a Shakti Puja, in a women's goddess puja, I understand where you're going, but let's take it to even a little bit more detail. So, mm-hmm. because just in case somebody can't really picture what you're talking about here, we know, you've said that the women are sitting and there's a plate in front of them, and then the men rotate one person in to the direction of left. Mm-hmm. What happens? Like someone gets to their partner, and then what happens? Like what? Like you're the next person rotating around. You sit in front of a goddess. Who are you, and who is she, and how do you go about giving her these things so people can really get a taste for it when they're listening? Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I'll say that my dear friend Don Kanan, he made a beautiful video of one of the goddess pujas that we did in New York, and you can find that online on YouTube. Just search for goddess puja in New York.
And okay, that's good to know.
It's very artistic, and it really gives the magical feel that you get in one of these events. But I will kind of try to paint the picture. So,
sure.
First of all, the women come into a room where it takes up about an hour and a half to set up, because we have a plate, a beautiful silk plate, red silk plate, in front of each seat. And we have on that plate, we have about 8 different brass containers or in different shapes. We have small conch, we have 2 water containers, a container for chocolate. We have a chamara, which is a monkey tail that's held on a certain type of handle. We have a peacock feather. We have a black silk cloth that's used to dry tears that come down. We have usually about 1,000 petals in every ceremony. We have usually around 300 roses in addition. So you have also roses on the plate. You have a bell. You have brass spoons. What else? I think and different types of leaves. So that's kind of, and you have a bindi that we're offering, a small sticker to the forehead.
That's good. I mean, I'm getting the picture now. Mm-hmm. What in fact it looks like, and then that's great. And then someone rotates. Yeah, someone rotates to you, and then what happens? It's orchestrated. Mm-hmm. You know.
So first of all, as a woman, you're being escorted by one of the dakinis to your seat. I'm explaining a little bit about how the ceremony goes, and then when we start, we have a man sitting in front of you, and they're being told how to hold the bell and ring the bell, and how to purify their hands, and how to purify the elements that they're working with. And then they will ring the bell with their left hand, and in their right hand, let's assume they're going to hold a conch, and I'll tell them, take one drop from the conch and place it on the corner of the eye of the woman in front of you, and offer her back all of the tears that she couldn't express in her past relationships.
Oh, that is so sweet.
So that's an example. And later on, they will offer a piece of chocolate. Or when we get to the rose petals, they will take a handful of rose petals and circle them around the partner's heart and their partner's face and their partner's feet, and then take both hands and just let all of those rose petals fall above that woman's head.
Oh, that is beautiful, Ran.
Yeah, so that's
gorgeous. Okay, so now I'm getting a picture of how you do it, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing for myself, I'm seeing it's like puja, certainly that I've seen in India, that they do for the Ganges River.
Yeah, it's exactly the same, just for a person.
But not everyone's been to India, so I wanted to make sure that they could picture exactly what you were talking about. We're going to stop here for a moment, although I hate to. I'm so engrossed in it now. I feel like we're doing it. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to give people an idea about some other things that you do, and then how they can get in touch with you and how they can participate certainly in one of these pujas. So please, everybody, stay tuned. We will be right back. I'm having an amazing time with my guest today, Ron Barron, and I hope you are. I hope you're learning really what a puja is, and we'll find out more. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, Now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Ladihan, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Ladihan today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Ladihan CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I'm speaking with Ron Baron, who is knocking my socks off today, talking about a goddess puja that he does with 50 to 100 people. I guess it's, well, I didn't ask you this. It's 50 women take part in this puja?
So I'm about to create actually the largest puja that ever took place in the United States, and that's going to happen as part of the ISTA conference in Sedona. And it's the first puja that I'm going to have 100 people, which means 50 women and 50 men, or 50. Actually, I wanted to say that's an important piece because I get asked, we're honoring the women, so there will be definitely 50 women receiving, but the giver can be either a man or a woman, doesn't really matter. But
okay,
the receiving end will be a woman, so there are going to be 50 women and 50 more attendees, so a total of 100. And it's a huge endeavor, and I'm really hoping that we can make it all happen.
Well, I think you really, when you say you're hoping you can make it happen, you're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
That is true.
So when does that, when does it take place? It's going to take place on what date?
That's the weekend of May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. If I'm not mistaken, we're doing that on the Sunday of May 5th.
Okay.
And
unfortunately, this year I will not be there. So I hope somebody's going to film it. I'm sure someone will film it and I'll get it. I'll be able to see it, and then I'd like to participate in one sometime. I certainly would, and I'm going to invite my listeners.
Definitely. Actually, I am planning, and we're hoping to plan one in Phoenix very soon, so you'll have no excuse.
Oh, this is great. I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was in Phoenix recently, but I didn't get to teach.
Okay, well, this is good. We'll talk about that later, what I can do to help this along.
Definitely.
So, okay, so you're going to do this with 100 people coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been the biggest group that you've done so far?
I think the one you see in the video, we had 50 people.
50 people. Yeah. Okay, that's great. And it was in New York.
It was in New York. I have to say, it's more than 15 people. It's quite an event. It's very, it demands a lot of elements, a lot of flowers, a lot of chocolate. But it's gorgeous beyond belief, and I can't even imagine the energy and the love that will happen in the 100 people. I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, it sounds simply wonderful. It's like a village.
It's a village.
You're doing
yeah.
a village. Yeah, yeah. So let's just summarize for a second, and then we'll talk about the ways people can get in touch with you and some of the other things that you're doing. But I guess when I say summarize, what I mean is, what is it that people say they get out of this? You know, you talked about the tears that are shed, and you talked about women saying that they have a hard time receiving. In what other ways would you say the women grow from participating in this, in something like this ritual? And what are some of the growth things or the shifts that take place in the men who participate in this ritual?
So I would definitely say that the main thing for the women, and again, I have, just for clarification, we do Shiva Puja, which is the opposite, women honoring men. But specifically, we're talking right now about the Goddess Puja. What the women receive is, first of all, feeling being seen in their divine form. And that means, again, because I hate talking in woo-woo or mystic, too mystical, that literally means feeling that you're seen for who you are, that you don't need to be different, you don't need to change, you don't need to, who you are as you are, with your vices, with your flaws, you're perfect and complete. And I know it sounds, I have to say also as a facilitator, I know it sounds, how can that happen? It just does. I can't explain it. It's magical.
Well, that's why the ritual is designed and was designed.
I actually have to say that one of the reasons that I'm really fanatic or like very strict in how the ceremony is performed and the elements that we're using, that's why I'm saying I'm hoping that we'll have it by in time, because everything is coming from India. It's thousands and thousands of dollars spent to get the authentic, real elements that are made in India for this specific reason. Every element, every conch has been in the Ganges. It has been gone through the process of purification. It's very important for me because I know that this is the magical ingredient, that everything really goes according to what it has been prepared or created for. There's a lot of intention behind the setup of the ceremony. So
this is really authentic. So you're bringing authentic ritual to live gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
And the ritual, being thousands of years old, works just the way it always did in the villages, and it's working now in this time, in this millennium, in this century, and you're doing it. And yeah, of course it works.
Yeah, it just works. So first of all, it's that. But the second thing is for women to experience unconditional receiving. I don't think there's anything more healing as a tantric teacher that I can offer to women. Fully unconditional receiving, that's the greatest gift I think men can give. And for the men that are participating is definitely the unconditional giving, which is, you know how healing that is for a man, that he feels, wow, I can just be vulnerable and open and not think, oh, I need to do something with it, or it means that I want her sexually, or no, just that, just the gift of giving with no expectations, so healing on its own. But other than that, I think for them sitting there in front of woman after woman and seeing how the women open up and receive in such a beautiful way, it just breaks their heart open. I always say that I see a phenomena, I called it from the first puja, I call it the Care Bear phenomena. That they come in and they're like a little bit, you know, clumsy, and like they don't know, there's a lot of different steps. And after like the 2-3 elements in, you see like a rainbow shooting out of their stomach. Like they're so happy and so full and in love. Like when you come out the end of the puja, you just feel like your heart has been blown up open. That's really
beautiful.
Happened. Yeah.
What a great result. What a wonderful, wonderful result. Like, and everyone got it right. Like they, whatever they got, it's right and whole and perfect for them. So.
Oh, I forgot something very important. At the end of the puja, because the receiver end in terms of tantric belief is staying in the status of a goddess until the following day. So we're using that momentum to ask the men to express something that they're feeling to any woman ever in their lives. It could be their mom, it could be their ex-partner, it could be their current daughter, whatever it is. And then the women say the same to men. So it's not to a specific guy, it's to all men in their lives. But
right.
They have the witnessing of all the men in the room or all the women in the room. And the shares that come out from Goddess Pujas, Lori, you just cannot believe it. I'll share something really touching and really painful that happened in one of the pujas in New York, actually. There was this one guy that he kept on saying, I want to apologize to my daughter. And I'm asking all of the women here to be my daughter and please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me.
Wow.
And then the women said, okay, we forgive you. And then he said, what happened is that my daughter was raped and I could not be there for her. And I could not hold the amount of emotion as a dad that I could not protect my kid. And I had to leave the house. I couldn't face her anymore. So not only that she was raped, her dad left the house.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. I got it. What a horrible thing. Yeah. And this guy's, so the guy made peace with
this. Hold on. So he asked for forgiveness and he was crying on the floor. He was like, really, he was so powerful. And after 2 weeks, he wrote me an email that because of that event, he was so transformed. He went back to his house, to his girl. Mm-hmm. He remarried. They had were planning to at the time to remarry his wife. They started the whole healing process with a therapist, but he said that without hearing and seeing all these women accept his apology, he would not be able to do that.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience for me.
Beautiful. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
My extreme pleasure. You know, I people ask me, why do you do that? And I say, because that's my relationship with the goddess.
That's great.
That's how I express my love.
Well, how can people find you? Where do they look to find you? What's your website?
They can find me at my website, which is Ron Baron, Ron with an A, RanBaron.com. Actually revamping it in the next couple of weeks, but still they can go online right now. And I'm working on and actually also goddesspuja.com. That's another website that I'm working on. And actually, if they want to help us and support the Goddess Puja in Sedona, the big event, I'm asking people to try and contribute if they want to. And that happens at goddesspuja.com.
Wonderful. Okay, good. And they can also find out about your coaching and any other workshops that you're doing by going there.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk to that. There's a whole piece of my life around what's called Qigong massage or Qi Nei Tsang, that is also a very tremendously healing practice that they do. But that's another call.
Well, you know what? We have a long life together.
Definitely.
And I can always have you back on the show. I'm very excited about what you're doing. And the whole ground of being that you're coming from just feels really, really good to me. And hopefully my listeners feel that. They just feel what's emanating out of you as you speak about the creation.
And they feel this amazing self-acceptance, like they see how they can awaken to happiness through processes like the ones that you're creating.
You know, I just realized that I haven't even said why or what my background around this, and I think it's an important piece. I lived in an ashram for 13 and a half years.
Mm.
Most of my life, from the age of 14, I devoted to the study of religions. I'm an ordained Hindu priest. I lived Buddhism and Zen and Taoism, Qigong. I really lived through very many different religions, usually a couple of years at a time, fully being immersed in the religious experience, because I feel, more than anything, what I feel I'm sharing is an ancient wisdom that is so valid to our day-to-day lives. And I feel that's my passion. That's what really excites me, that I feel I have all of this knowledge and so many years of practice, and I can really share it in a very approachable and simple way.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for saying all that and for being my guest today. I'm inspired, and what more can I say? I'm excited by you.
Thank you so much, Lori. It was such
thank
a pleasure.
You.
I'm so happy that we got
thank
to
you.
Do this.
Me too. And
please come back next time. I know last time I told you I was going to have these guests, but it wasn't possible. So now, this time I am. I'm going to be speaking to two people who've been in and out of relationship for 18 years. Sometimes the relationship is open and they include another or others, and sometimes it's been closed. But over all the time, they've been able to love each other and feel connected no matter what. And there's something to be learned from this.
They're going to give us some secrets on how people can stay together no matter what and be just as happy and just as excited by each other as the moment they met. So I'll be returning to you with that. Signing off for Sex and Happiness, this is Laurie Handlers. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-